we went. We went camping this weekend with the Royal Rangers. We learned a new game while we were out camping. It's a new game called geocaching. Have any of you ever heard of this game, geocaching? Anybody ever play and do a little geocaching? Okay, I see a couple hands. I see a hand. Yeah. We got out there, and the way the game is played, people hide these boxes, these little caches of things all over the world, literally all over the world. And you can log on to a website, geocaching.com, and you can get the coordinates of where these caches are around you, and you take your GPS. It can be, I just use my phone, I've got a GPS on my phone, and you just plug in the coordinates, and then you, it's like a worldwide scavenger hunt with a GPS. And so you go and you find these things, and you ride in there and you trade things, and you put little tokens in and just see where they go. You can track them around the world to see where they'll end up. Put in the coordinates. On my phone, I get a little compass that points up. All I got to do is follow that needle, and I can get within 16 feet of a cache. Don't you wish following God was sometimes that easy? Sometimes we think about finding God's will for our life, and I wish we had a GPS for that. People talk about being in God's will, finding God's plan. And a lot of times people are looking and they are hunting for a bush somewhere that is on fire. They are looking for a star in the sky to guide them on their journey from the east. They are looking for a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. Sometimes we wish we had some sort of device that could point us in the direction of finding what is God's plan for our lives. Well, for the next few weeks, I want to walk with you through the Scriptures and uncover from God's Word how we as human beings discern the will of God for our lives. And you know, we don't have to rely on supernatural events in the sky. We can rely on the very things that we have as believers. That's not to say that if you see a burning bush somewhere with the voice of God coming out of it, that you shouldn't stop and pay attention. You should. But God doesn't very often lead human beings in that way. Let me set the stage a little bit for us. You see, a lot of times we have difficulty in understanding or finding God's will for us, and it has to do with a breakdown of how we view God. In other words, how we conceive God, how we understand God, how we understand finding His will impacts our finding of His will. Our understanding of who God is and how He operates will impact how we follow Him. And you see, there are different images of God, different conceptions that people have of our God that encumber this process. So let me deal, just in the beginning, let me deal with a few of those. One way that we may view God is as a clockmaker, or as a watchmaker. God created the world, and we would have acknowledgement of that. God created an order to our universe, And He set our universe in motion according to certain rules that govern its operation that He sat in place. And then He just stepped out of the picture to watch what would happen. It is as if some people have a conception of God as a watchmaker where He created and spoke the world into being and then steps back. And here we are to play out our own destinies, our own lives, according to the parameters that God has designed in the beginning. The world runs on its own. They have a conception of God that doesn't interfere with this clock. A God that doesn't intervene in any way. Well, if God is a watchmaker type God, then it would be very difficult for us to talk about God's will in any meaningful sort of way. We could talk about God's will in terms of natural law and basic principles of human interaction, but in terms of finding God's own particular plan for me or for you, that wouldn't profit us very much, because we would see God as a distant God, a disengaged God, a God who is uninvolved. Another way that people might view God is they view God as sometimes a cosmic puppeteer. We have perhaps encountered people like this. They have an image of God who is sovereign over everything in the universe, and God is sovereign, but to such a degree that there is nothing that happens in the world that He doesn't set in motion. That God is a puppet master that is pulling all of our strings to act and do according to His purposes. That when human beings act well, or when human beings act badly, it is because we have a cosmic puppeteer that is setting in motion every single actor on the stage. Again, to talk about the will of God with a conception of God like that is a little bit difficult. Why talk about finding God's will if God is going to make you do His will anyway? It would be impossible in a world such as that to not accomplish the will of God. And yet, when we come to Scripture, we find words that imply we have responsibility for our action. There's another view of God. We see God as a parent. Specifically, God of a parent of adult children. If you've ever dealt with children, you may have some understanding of this concept. In this concept, in this view, we have a God that has a will that He wants to reveal to us. And we have good choices and not so good choices that we can make. God reveals His will to us as His children. And then it is left to us to decide whether we will engage or not. God is willing to reveal Himself to us, to engage with us, to help us understand His purpose for our lives. But we must be willing to choose it. You see, in this model, ultimately, our choice does matter. We have an active role in learning the will of God. We are active participants in determining what God's plan is for us. We're responsible to join God in His plan. We're responsible to listen to Him and then to walk in obedience. The New Testament gives us a hint of this idea. In the New Testament language, in the original, there are two different words that correspond with God's will for human beings. And there's a distinction between how these two words are used. There's a distinction that, that God has a plan for this world and for our lives that will be accomplished no matter what. God has a plan that He will accomplish, that He has set in motion, that will happen whether we participate or whether we do not. But there's another type of will that is spoken of, that is, God has a plan, has a desire for our life. And we can choose to respond to that or not. One of the Greek words for will is boule. Boule has this idea of God's unchanging plan. The boule, the will of God in this sense, will happen whether we agree with it or not. It will happen regardless of our cooperation. In Acts chapter 2, verse 23, we see an example of this. Peter says this about Jesus. This man, Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. He's talking about the crucifixion of Jesus. God's will that Jesus suffer for our sins would take place whether the Romans participated or not. It was His definite plan, and God accomplished it. In no way does the Bible give us any indication that God needed our cooperation in fulfilling His plan for our salvation. But yet there's another word that is used in the New Testament. The word is thelema. Thelema has as its core meaning the idea of desire or intent. Paul uses this word in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It is God's will. It is the will of God. It is the desire of God for your sanctification that you abstain from sexual immorality. He's not talking in that verse about something that God is going to accomplish in us whether we participate or not. God is talking, God is speaking through His Word about His desire for our lives. We have an active role in learning how we participate in the plan of God. If you've ever worked with children, you may understand a little bit about this distinction. See, I have some things that I would desire for my children to do. They don't always do those things. I see some parents smiling. Maybe you have children similar to mine. There are some basic things that I would like for my kids to do, but they don't always do them. I have a basic desire for my kids not to fight each other and hit each other. They do sometimes. My little 3-year-old Ori, he loves tools. And if you try to take his tools, he'll whack you with them. One of his brothers, we were getting ready to go to school this past spring at the end of the year, and one of his little brothers took away a plastic hammer from Ori because we were getting ready to go. Ori did not like that at all. He took that plastic hammer and he whacked his brother in the head with it. That is not in accordance with my will as a parent. I took the hammer away. And I said, Ori, you can't hit your brothers with this plastic hammer. And so I go about and I'm preparing, and I notice as I'm working on finishing up breakfast and getting us ready to go in the van, Ori is just sitting in the corner and he's just, Ori, what's wrong? Ori, what's wrong? Ori, are you mad that I took the plastic hammer away from you and said you couldn't hit your brother with a hammer? You see, we have desires of things that we want our children to do, but they don't always do them. Look with me in Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. It's a beautiful passage. It's a beautiful psalm. The psalmist gives a promise to those who meditate upon the Word of the Lord. You see, if we're going to be serious about finding God's desire for our life, then I'm going to lay before you the first place we look is the Word of God Himself. If we are going to discern God's individual plan for us, the first place we must look is the Word of God. This is what the psalmist says. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. The person described here is a person who delights in the law of the Lord. A person that meditates on the Scriptures, on the Word of God, both day and night. It is a description of a person who is open to the things of God in his or her life. A person that is hungry to hear what God might say to them. A person whose mind is turned toward God in the morning and in the evening. The psalmist is explicitly talking about the written Word of God. It's talking about the law of the Lord. It was the first five books of our Bible that were referred to at the time of its writing. Today we would understand this as the entire Old and New Testament of Scripture. This psalmist describes a person who is hungry and stays himself in the Word of God. Describes a state of well-being and a state of happiness. Look at what he says about this person, verse 3. This person, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. Now that's a promise. Isn't that a good promise? This is a description of a person who spends the time in the Word of God. This blessedness is a direct result of spending time with God, of God giving good things. Says that the person who dwells in the things of God is a fruitful person. That person will prosper. The psalmist pictures this person as being a prosperous person. A person that is bearing fruit just as naturally as trees bear fruit. Not straining and struggling to produce, but naturally producing and prospering. The Scripture certainly teaches us that very good people, godly people, can encounter difficult times. One need not look further than the Apostle Paul to see an example of that. One need not look further than our own Savior Jesus to understand that people who are centered in God's will can experience horrific things. But the person that meditates on God's Word will be the one who is empowered to live a life that reflects the very will of God. And that person will receive all kinds of blessings because they live in the Word of God. Now, the psalmist doesn't give us any detail as to precisely how to go about study or how precisely studying God's Word brings about benefit or blessing in our life, but there are a couple things perhaps that we can look at. And the first one is that reading and studying the Bible deepens our consciousness of God. Now think about that. As we read Scripture, our mind is turned toward our Creator. Now, this is an obvious and basic advantage of reading the Bible. The simple fact is that most things around us, most of these things in our world, divert our attention from God. They are detractors in our attention of God. They don't lead us to godly thinking. And so we need disciplines in our lives. We need some strategy in our lives so that our attention is refocused on the matters and the things of God instead of other things. It's impossible to give any serious consideration about how am I finding the will of God when we rarely think about our God. Second way the Word of God may help us in discerning the will of the Lord is studying the Bible informs us of God's principles. I don't know about you, but there are certain principles by which I try to live my life. I actually have taken some time to put some of those things in writing as constant reminders to me. One of the things that I value, that I strive for in my life is to be a person of integrity. That what I say and do is a reflection of who I am. I don't always live up to that. But it's a principle that is guiding my life. Well, a person who studies the Word of God, who spends time in God's Word, understands the principles by which our God moves. We understand something of His character. We understand that there may be a course of action that we would take which would work contrary to the character of God. And when we're tempted to take those shortcuts in our lives, we do well to meditate in Scripture and see that this is contrary to who our God is. Studying the Bible may also motivate or confirm a particular decision in our lives. Sometimes when you read Scripture, you may get a strong sense that the words are leaping out from the page and are being spoken directly to you. We may sometimes, as we read the Word of God, get a sense of inspiration. That what is going on with these pages is something that we need to implement and do in our own lives. The Bible can be a helpful aid in our prayer. Sometimes it's difficult to pray. I'll admit that. Sometimes it's hard for me to pray. The Bible can be a helpful aid in guiding your prayer. Take a look for a moment in Psalm 25. I'll read the first five verses. O you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. You are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. That's a guiding prayer. You see, we can pray the psalm. Let me give you, for example, Psalm 50 and verse 23. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. We can use prayers like this in the Scriptures to help focus our faith, to help remind us of the character of God, of the God who answers our prayers. Perhaps the most important reason that we anchor ourselves in God's will by first being students of His Word, by first meditating in the Word of God, is that by studying the Bible, it brings us into contact with God Himself. When we read in these pages, we interact with a God not who has stepped back from the world He created. We interact not with a God who is a puppet master, but we interact with a God who is a loving parent. We interact with a God who wants to speak to us. And when we read the Scriptures, it works to bring us into a closer alignment, a closer relationship with Him. Well, what does it mean for us practically? How do we do this? Let me suggest a few things. One of the things that we need to incorporate is Scripture in our lives. One of the things that we need to incorporate into our lives as believers is a habit of reading the Bible. You know, it's one thing to talk about, well, in the Bible it says somewhere, well, I thought Jesus was all about so-and-so. A lot of those statements go away when one spends time with the very living Word of God. We need a habit in our lives to bring God's Word into us. Psalm 1 speaks of the importance of daily meditation. Day and night I meditate on Your Word. We need to have a regular routine in our lives of when do you read the Scriptures? When do you read the Bible? When do you pray? It's not that constant Bible reading and constant praying is going to earn your way into heaven. That's not what we're talking about. But if we're going to know something about the God whom we serve, then we need to be in His Word. And if we are going to be in His Word with any effectiveness, we need to build a routine into our lives to make these things happen, because on our own, they will not happen. Daily spend time in the Word. There's a lot of good resources today in order to help you do that. Spend time reading. There are all kinds of Bibles that are published. There's the one-year Bible by Tyndale Publishers. It's in several translations. Go pick you up a copy of that for your morning time of prayer, for your evening time of prayer. You can go on the internet. You can go to Bible.com. You can go to Biblia. You can go to all these links on the internet, and you can find Bible reading plans with daily Scripture reading. Pick a time right before you go to bed each evening. Wake up in the morning, start on the coffee pot, sit down and read God's Word. That's my habit. Pick a time. Set a goal to read through the Scripture in its entirety in 1 year. The church is suffering from people who do not know the Word of God. Set a goal to read Scripture in its entirety, from Genesis to Revelation, in a year's time. You can do that every year. I do. Sometimes I skip a few days. I say, Lord, I'm sorry, and then I start again. But I have a goal, and I work the goal. Maybe take a few notes if a verse or two stands out to you. Maybe start a journal to go along with it. Maybe pick up a study guide for a particular book that you're reading through in the Scripture. But be intentional about getting the Word of God in your lives. You're not going to find any meaningful answer to what is God's purpose unless you do this. Take notes about what you read. Have a running commentary. Put together a journal of prayers that you pray along with as you read the Scripture. And then go back a year later and see how God has worked in your time, in your life. Famous writer, let me close with this. Famous writer named John White writes about God's direction in our lives, writes about how our God guides us. He says, God does not desire to guide us magically. He wants us to know His mind. He wants us to grasp His very heart. We need minds so soaked with the content of Scripture, so endued with biblical outlooks and principles, so sensitive to the Holy Spirit's prompting, that we know instinctively the upright step to take in any circumstance, great or small. You have a God who wants to speak to us. How do you discern the will of God in your life? It begins in the morning, in the evening, right here, in this book. Where do I fit in this church? Where do I fit in this world? What would God have me do? Get this in place in your life and hear the word of the Lord speak to you on a daily basis. I know of no person of any integrity who has said, God has spoken to me so and so, who does not have a habit of living in the Word of God. Amen? I encourage you. Just pick a time. 10 minutes. 30 minutes is better. An hour is better. But I believe you'll see God moving in your life with just 10 minutes, especially if you're doing nothing right now. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank You, O Lord, for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for this lamp for our feet, this light for our path. Thank You, Lord, for the blessing that comes to those who dwell upon Your Word. Thank You, Lord, that You have promised prosperous living, fruitful living, meaningful living for anyone who dwells in Your Word. Lord, I pray that You would work with us as our hearts and our minds are turned to perhaps getting back to school this fall and getting back to fall routines. Lord, I pray that You would speak to our hearts, that we would work You into our routine. Lord, so many things pull us away from You. Lord, we need to hear from You. We pray that You would lead us in this and bless us in this according to Your Word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.